God and the preaching I hope to follow. Amen. I ask you tonight to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus and chapter number 15. Exodus and chapter number 15 in the Word of God for tonight. Just a few little simple thoughts that I have, and I try to make them a blessing to your heart if I can. Encourage you a little bit in the Lord, and hope to give us a little boost in our soul for the marathon and for the days that lie ahead. You know, there's some stormy waters up ahead of us. And if you think it's rough now, I got news for you. It just started. It just begun. We got a long way to go. I think I've read enough in the Bible that I'm beginning to see some light that I've never seen before on the last days. And I'm confident there's going to be troublesome times in the last days. You know, the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years, that's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. And it's going to be a very terrible 3.5 years. And nothing that I've ever found in the Bible that just God just jumps up and just jumps and does it, things of this nature all at once. It's just not going to be wonderful one day and bad the next. It's going to work its way into what is taking place here. And I'm going to tell you, we're seeing it right now. We are seeing it unfold before our eyes. We are living in a generation. That we are living in the generation that has the greatest possibility of any generation has ever lived. And that is the possibility of seeing our Lord come in clouds of glory. Amen. And that's a wonderful day it's going to be. And it is just around the next bend, folks. Just around the next bend. All right. Exodus and chapter number 15. And I want to begin reading in verse number 22. Bible said, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Before I pray, I'll say this on one note. Brother Mays Jackson, years ago, I heard him preaching, and he said, he preached on that verse of Scripture, verse number 27, one time, and told the people he was going to preach on the 12 springs of water that was there, and the 12 wells. And said he preached for about 1 hour and 15 minutes, and said when he got done, said his wife come to him and said, Mays, said, I'm sure glad you never got on them palm trees. Said, if you'd have preached on them 70 palm trees, we'd have never got out here tonight. And so I guess that's got a whole lot of truth in it. But there's a whole lot of truth in the Bible. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the night. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to look in once again to the Word of God. I do pray for those that are not amongst us tonight, that you'd bless them and help them. Those that are sick, those that are traveling, those that are away. Give them the grace and help that they need. And Lord, we certainly stand in a desperate need of an old-fashioned, heaven-sent revival to our hearts. That'll stir us once again for Thee. Help us to set our affection on things above. Help us, Lord, to set our hearts upon Christ and to think upon You as Thou hast thought upon us. I do pray tonight for liberty in the pulpit to preach. I pray You'd give us the grace and divine help that we need, save sinners, bless Your people, and may Your precious name get glory and honor. from everything that is said and done, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, I think I preached this morning on Lost and Found. I believe that's what the title of the message was. And I want to preach tonight around not the same thought, but the same sort of a title. And I've titled the message, From Bitter to Sweet. The waters of Mirah that were bitter were made sweet to the people of God. And I want to preach on that a little while, from bitter to sweet. As I read there in verse number 22, Israel has now departed from Egypt. The Passover has taken place. The blood has been applied. The death angel has went through. There's an aftermath there that our eyes will probably never behold anything like it in this lifetime. And they've departed, made their way to the Red Sea. God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and now they've went 3 days into the wilderness of Shur. They had been many days. They'd been traveling those days, and all the days that they had traveled, they had no water. But they saw from a distance what seemed to be an oasis with an abundant supply of water that they might drink. I don't know if you've ever went without water, but you can't go long without drinking water. And I realize that the people of God here murmured, and I don't justify it, but I do say that if I had to go 3 days without water, I might have a little something in my own heart to say. I might get a little uptight about it too. I remember one time in Vietnam that I got so thirsty I thought I could drink Niagara Falls dry, and we can get that way. And so they had no water, and they saw from a distance what they thought to be an oasis of abundant water. But when they came up to it and sought to drink from it, sought to quench their thirst from its fountain, they found that the water was so bitter that they could not drink it. I want to stop right there for a minute and say, you know, sometimes things that we see appear to be, they don't appear to be really what they are. I'm sure when they saw, no doubt, that one little scrub tree standing with this pool of water, that they thought they had found an oasis, something, water that would quench their thirst. They had been several days without any moisture in their body. And they saw what they thought was an abundant supply of water. But when they got to it, they realized that the water was not fit to drink, that it was bitter, that it was Mirah, it was bitter water. And you know, I think that's the way it is in our life as well. Sometimes things that we see, especially from a distance, wind up not being what we think they're going to be. I don't know about you, but my eyesight's not very good. I could take off my glasses right now and look down at my Bible. I couldn't read it if I had to. In fact, everything in there looks double. They don't look just blurred. They look double. But if I put on my glasses, it draws it up a little closer, and I can see it a little bit better. Well, from a distance, they saw that well of water called Mirah and thought they had found what they need to satisfy their thirsty soul. But when they got there, they realized that the waters were bitter. In fact, they were too bitter to drink. And this became a great trial for the people of Israel, the people of God. It became a great trial for them. And I don't want to linger long on this, but I want to say the very first thing they did, they began to vent their disappointments on the man of God. They began to murmur, the Bible said, against Moses. And they vented their anger and their disappointment on the man of God. You know, it hadn't changed today. Brother Grace pastored a number of years, and he knows exactly what I'm saying is right, that 99% of the time when there's problems develop in our life or when we have problems in the church, it's always the pastor that people vent their problems on. I was just told this afternoon of a pastor that we all know here, and after the morning service, some fella came up to him that had been in the church for a number of years, and there began to vent himself on that pastor, began to tell him what and how things ought to be, what was wrong, what was going on, and what he needed to do to straighten things out. Well, there's only one thing wrong with that. If the pastor needs straightening out, I'll tell you, God knows how to straighten him out. You better believe that's right. And I say this in all honesty. I know I'm your pastor, and I hate to say it about myself, but I'm going to tell you, if you got a problem with the pastor, don't vent it out in murmurings and disputings amongst yourself. Go to God in prayer and tell God about it. Or go to the man of God directly and tell the man of God about it. But don't murmur amongst yourselves about what's going on. God doesn't take that lightly. He certainly doesn't take that lightly. But they begin to vent their disappointments in murmurs and murmurings against Moses, that man of God. Now, when they got to that well of water, I see here, first of all, a glimpse of the plan that God had for Israel's journey. Their journey had just begun. They were just getting started. They were on their way to the promised land. Now, I want to say to you tonight, I've preached this before, and most of you know it, when God brought them up out of the land of Egypt, His intentions all the time was to get them into Canaan. And He got them there. It took a few deaths along the way, a few disappointments along the way, a few trials, a few hardships, but by and by they made it to where God had said in His heart that He would give them that land, the land that flowed with milk and honey. And it was in His intention all along to get them into that land. And and you think that the 40 years of wandering surprised God? Do you think their failure at Kadesh Barnea surprised God? No, I'm telling you, nothing has ever occurred to our God, not one thing. And He knew it all along before the troubles ever started. He knew it before they ever got to Myra. He knew that the water there was bitter, and yet He led them along that way. He led them along that way. He knew the water was bitter, and yet God led them along that way to that bitter water. But I see in that a glimpse of God's plan for Israel's journey. Now, listen carefully. In Egypt, what did God do with the water in Egypt? Oh, they had drank of the sweet waters of the Nile. You remember when I was preaching on the Nile, how they said the waters were sweet to the taste. Travelers would come from afar just to drink of the water of the Nile and how sweet it was. And God took that sweet water of the Nile and turned it into blood. But not so here with God's people. He takes the waters that are bitter, and He turns the waters that are bitter and makes them sweet. And in that, I see God's plan, or God's, not just plan, but I'll just use that word, God's plan for them throughout their entire journey. This was to be the pattern. That's the word I'm looking for. This was to be the pattern that God would use to prove His people every bitter trial they found, if they hearkened to the voice of God, God would make that trial to become a blessing in their life. We find that in verse 26. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, not our sight, do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear to His commandments and keep all of His statutes. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians. He said, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. In other words, He said, I'm not going to put any of those disease, those plagues on you that I put on the nation of Egypt if you will simply obey the word of God. If you'll walk according to my statutes and according to my commandments, I'll put none of these diseases upon you. He said, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I see there the pattern that God had for them all along their journey. If you read the story, it is one of the most amazing stories in all the Word of God. Their journeys from Egypt into the Promised Land. I don't have time to cover it all. We'd be here all night. But I do know this. It seemed like every time, every page you turn in the history of Israel on that journey, that they run into some kind of a problem. They were hit into some kind of a difficulty, some kind of an obstacle before them. The devil fighting them every step of the way. But I also find something else. And there were sometimes very bitter trials, like the fire that came down out of heaven and consumed Korah and the sons of Korah. The pit, the earth opened up and swallowed them up alive. into the pit. I see things of that nature all the way through their journeys. But there's one thing about it. Every one of those bitter trials, God in turn, if they obeyed Him, God would take those trials and make them a blessing to the people of God. Now I want to say, God has not changed that pattern all of these years. It's still the same for you and I today. That's how God's going to prove us. That's how God's going to test us. He's going to put us through some trials and tribulations in our life that is going to test us and prove us so we ourselves will know exactly what we're made out of. Amen. That is God's pattern, that He will make this trial a blessing. I couldn't help but sit the last night as I penned some of these words down, and I thought about the marathon coming up. I thought about what I was preaching this morning, and thought about what I'm preaching tonight, and the marathon coming up. Just a month since we've had one. I thought about what the people of the church will think. I thought, what is the people out in the radio land going to think? I thought about, well, will the money come in or will the money not come in? Well, this one thing I do know, that we're in this trial, and we're in this trial together, and my Bible tells me that God will take these trials, and if we will let Him, God will make this trial a blessing for us. We used to sing that old song a lot on the station, God will make this trial a blessing, and He will. He knows how to take the bitter, ladies and gentlemen, and make it sweet to our taste. He knows how to take water that is unfit to drink and make it sweet to our taste. That is the pattern God has for His people, that He'll take every trial, every bitter element of life, and will make it a blessing to you and I if we'll only obey Him in the Word of God. Amen. That's exactly right. I believe that's right anyway. Now, I want us to notice also their murmurings. The Bible said there in verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Why were they murmuring at Moses? Why were they fussing at Moses? I'm going to give you some things here in just a minute. Why? Hey, this crowd, now listen carefully. They're murmuring. Just a few days ago, they had crossed the Red Sea, and just a few days before this, they weren't murmuring. They were full of mirth. Right. They went out and sang the song of Moses. When they saw Pharaoh and his chariots in the water, they sang the song of Moses. God hath triumphed gloriously over Pharaoh and over his army. Miriam took the timbrel and went out into the wilderness with dances with all of the ladies. Hey, their heart was full of mirth, but just a few days later, that mirth had turned them into mutineers and murmurers complaining against God and against Moses for where they were and what was going on in their life. I want to say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's not my problem of what's going on in your life. God has got everybody's life particularly laid out and planned for them. Now, I can preach to you and help you, but I'm going to tell you what you're going to put. You're going to put your heart into it a little bit and help yourself as well. I cannot do it all. I can preach and tell you what the Bible says, but you're going to have to make the necessary changes, amen, to make this trial a blessing for you. Amen. And you can if you want. And it wasn't long before this that they were singing that song of Moses, and Miriam went out with dances, but now they're mutineers. They're almost in a stage of mutiny. I believe they could have hung Moses if they thought that some of the other people would have let them done it. And they murmured and began to murmur and gripe and bellyache and complain. They had to be Baptist. They had to be Baptist. They were some of the biggest belly achers I've ever seen in my life. Gripe about this, bellyache about that, murmur about something else. And I think this goes on all the time. You ought to go back through their journeys and count the number of times the Bible said they murmured against God and against Moses. It would amaze you. It really would. How many times that word is used in the Old Testament? Now I'm going to tell you, if you'd go into the New Testament and look at what murmurings are, I'm going to tell you, it might change our attitude a great deal. We may learn to seal our mouth a little bit and quit complaining a little bit and go to thanking God. We got more to thank God for than we got to murmur and complain about what God's done for us. God's been good to all of us better than what we deserve. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Now, the people murmured against Moses. Now their conduct, this murmuring, was unreasonable. It was totally unreasonable. Somebody said, well, why? Well, one thing is because Moses was only God's man and was himself a partaker of their affliction. Do you think he wasn't thirsty? Come on, children. You think Moses wasn't thirsty? Do you think, you're the only one that suffers when things get rough around here like it is? Like the times we've been going? Oh, no. I've got news for you. If you think you're the only one suffers, you're wrong. You're way wrong. I'm going to tell you, I'm in this thing with you. I'm not in this thing against you. I'm in this thing for you and with you. But we're all in this trial together, every one of us. They wasn't one of them exempt from it. We're all in this trial together. Now, hey, that's right. I'm going to tell it right or not. And what they were doing were unreasonable because Moses was just as thirsty as they were. He wanted water just as bad as what they wanted. So therefore, their murmuring and their complaining was unreasonable before God. Then I want to say secondly, not only was it unreasonable, but their conduct was ungrateful. Ungrateful. Because Moses had, from the very first, done everything in his power for them. And that not for any profit or glory which he might gain of it for himself, but simply and only for their good. Everything Moses did, he did for them. He is the one that turned his back on the riches of Egypt and said, I'd rather suffer the afflictions of the people of God than I would to have the pleasures of sin for a season. Hey, he's the man that turned his back on the world. Everything that he did was nothing for himself. It was always for them. He's always helping them. He's the one that confronted Pharaoh. He is the one, ladies and gentlemen, that helped them the night of the death angel. He is the one that parted the waters of the Red Sea. He's the one that brought them across the desert. And you're going to find out he is the one that finally turned the water that was bitter and made it sweet for them. And so what they're doing is totally unthankful. They don't any of them thank Moses for not one thing that he's ever done for them in their life. And I know how I don't want to be the one to say this, but I'm going to say it. That's the way it is today as well. That's the way it is today as well. It's hard to get folks to be grateful to the man of God for being their preacher. Somebody said, well, you're just another man like us. I'm in the midst just like you are. But I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I've not done it for myself. I don't think I have. I've tried to do what I've done to be a help and a blessing to you. I've tried to preach to you the best I can. I'll tell you one thing I've done. I've not compromised. Somebody said, well, you'll make everybody mad. If you get mad over the truth, so be it. If the truth tears you up, so be it. Get mad about it. Your name might be Jonah. God told Jonah, said, hey, it doeth thee well to be angry, Jonah. It might do some people well to get angry a little bit. But God asked him, do it thee well to be angry? Come on in the house, folks. Unthankful as they could be for the man of God and what he done. Even unthankful to the Lord. To the Lord for what God had done on their behalf. Boy, I'll tell you, and I said this morning, aren't we an ungrateful bunch? From me right on out, we're an ungrateful bunch. When I stop and think of where I could be today, some of you in here has testified that where you might be today had not God divinely intervened in your life. And what you were involved in when God brought you out of sin and brought you out of Egypt under the canopy of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. and brought you by His power through the waters of the Red Sea and led you down the corridors of the wilderness of Shur to a muddy water hole that you thought was going to have some sweet water in it. Hey, and when you found it wasn't there, you begin to murmur. But hey, lift up your eyes. Just up ahead, there are 12 veins of water and 70 palm trees just up ahead of you.
Amen.
God will make this trial a blessing. Amen. That's right. And so they were unreasonable and they were ungrateful. Then their conduct was unbelieving. Because they might have reasoned that He who 3 days before had divided the sea and made a path for them would not forsake them now. We sing that song, He will not, no need to doubt Him now. No need to doubt Him now. Why should they murmur? Just 3 days before this, God parted the Red Sea for them. And now they're murmuring at Moses. Hey, their faith is gone. They're an unbelieving lot. Just 3 days ago, they saw an incredible miracle at the hands of God. And now they're coming to a water hole where there's no water to drink, good water to drink. And they begin to murmur about it. I'm telling you what, they had forgotten for everything that God had done for them. I can take you to the book of Psalms right now and show you where the Bible says that our fathers understood not. They understood not those miracles that God did in the land of Zoan. They didn't understand the thing that was going on. They couldn't grasp it. Now I'm telling these people today that can't get a hold of it either. The miracles that God's done. You realize what kind of a miracle it was when God saved you? What kind of a miracle it was when God saved me? All of us were just sinners. Deserving to die. To be cast into hell. And Brother George said it. He said the truth. Just a handful of dust. That's all we are. I heard a preacher preaching one time and he said, I'd like to buy some Baptists for what they think they're worth, or buy them for what they're worth, and sell them for what they think they're worth. Said some of them think they're worth a whole lot of money, but it's a proven fact. Grind them up into fertilizer, and our body becomes a total value of 63 cents! That's what we're worth, 63 cents for fertilizer. May God help us. Not much there, is there? But I'm going to tell you, with nothings and nobodies, with nobody's going nowhere. But brother, that day when Jesus moved into our little area of our life, woo, and lifted us up, amen, and pointed our soul toward Calvary. And there we saw the darling Son of God hanging between heaven and earth, pouring out His lifeblood that sinners like you and I might be washed in the blood. Amen, that we might be born again. That our souls might live in the presence of God for all time and eternity. And we ought to thank Him and be grateful in our heart for what God's done. Hey, if He killed us all right now tonight, we ought to still be able to thank Him for what He's done in the past. Amen. So if He killed us all tonight, we're still going to heaven. God, somebody said, no, I don't believe that. Well, you can believe whatever. You can be wrong if you want to. I don't believe all those that died in the wilderness were lost. Some people do. They just didn't get into Canaan. They didn't get into that spirit-filled life. There's a lot of poor, poor folk. I started to say poor, benighted souls. But I won't say. There's a lot of poor folk. That's right. They'll never make it into Canaan. They'll never taste of the grapes of Eshcol. They'll never taste that milk and honey. It's flowing by plenty, plenteous ways. Rivers of honey and milk in the land of Canaan. And there's not many folks that's got enough grace about them to put their feet into the brink of the water and let God part the waters of the Jordan just like He did the Red Sea and let us go over on dry land. And by the way, they put 12 stones out in the middle of that river when they crossed it, and I believe they're still there today. I'm not so sure that's not where Elisha crossed it and went over, and Elisha came back the same way. I'm not so sure he didn't pass by and say, them stones are still here.
Amen.
And I guarantee they go over and get the water away from it tonight. You and I look and say, them stones are still there. Somebody said, I don't believe they're still there, Brother Hall. I'm telling you, the Bible said that God put them there for a statue forever, for a memorial forever. And I'm going to tell you, when God says something, God means it. They're there. The 12 stones are there, one for every tribe of the nation of Israel. They're there yet today. Now, they were unbelieving. They were unbelieving. They thought they God that divided the Red Sea made a pathway for them. They thought now, well, He's going to forsake us. But God's not going to forsake you. God will not forsake you. I'm going to tell you, times is difficult, and I don't look for them getting much better for a while. Times are rough on all of us. And you look at the world around us, friend. I'm telling you, this world we're living in is in a chaos. It's in a mess. I've never seen things the way they are right now. But there's one thing that I know for sure, that God said He'll never forsake His people. And what God says He meant. And God will never forsake you, not one minute, not for one second. He's closer than you think He is. God's closer than you think He is! I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll use this again. But hey, sweet, from bitter to sweet, was an arm's reach away, and they couldn't even see it. There was a little tree there, and all they had to do is throw it in the water, and it made the water sweet, and they didn't even recognize the tree. You know why? While they were murmuring, Moses cried to God. And God showed him that bush. Now, I may say a little bit more about that in a minute. I hope I do anyhow. Now, their conduct was unfaithful. And I hear that is it. While they murmured, Moses cried unto the Lord. They didn't believe God for much, but while they were murmuring and griping, Moses cried unto God. And God said, there's a tree, Moses. Throw it into the water. Watch the water turn sweet. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That little old tree, I don't know what kind it was. I've read several books on it, trying to prepare for tonight. I don't know what kind of a tree it was for sure, but one thing that I know that it does, and that not one of the writers said it, but that tree has to refer to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that water that's bitter has to refer to the Word of God in the soul of a lost man and a lost woman. And I'm going to tell you what, to a lost person, the Bible is bitter water! Oh, I'm going to tell you, you throw in the cross, hallelujah to God. That water will get sweet all of a sudden, thank God. It made me bitter. And I'm going to tell you, get right with God, thoroughly right with God. The preacher can get up and skin your hide and tack your skin to the wall. Amen. And you'll like it. He can pour salt on you and you'll say, amen, preacher. Amen. Throw another handful on me. Amen. Throw another handful on me. You'll like it because God will take the bitter and make it sweet in your life. Amen, that's right. Now, I want you to notice something. Deliverance increases our obligations. God had delivered them, therefore they were obligated to God. I wonder if people recognize that today. God has delivered us, therefore we ought to be obligated to God. We ought to be obligated to His ministry. We've got a piece of paper laying out there on that table. I wonder how obligated you are to it. Oh, Brother Hall's changed the way we're doing things. So I'm not going to play ball no more. All I can say is don't play ball no more. Sometimes you got to change some things. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's right. But obligation, our deliverance increases our obligation to God. And the observance of God's statutes secures new blessings for us. He said that in verse number 26. If we'll observe God's statutes and commandments, it'll secure new blessings for us. I'm telling you, when they obeyed God here, I'm going to tell you right up ahead was 12 springs of water, 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Right. Hallelujah. That's right. The observance of God's statutes secures new and greater blessings for them because God has healed us. He has a claim upon our allegiance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God saved us and He has got a claim upon our allegiance. We ought to be We ought to be in allegiance. Somebody help me. We ought to be allied with God because He has saved us. We ought to be in allegiance with Him because He saved us. Oh, that's right. We're obligated to Him. Amen. And we ought to be in allegiance. He's got a claim upon our allegiance to Him because of that. In other words, we ought to be serving Him for what He's done for us.
Amen.
Ah, land, God, help us tonight. God, help us. Folks say, well, I can take it or I can leave it. No, if you've got that attitude, I'm going to tell you, if you've got the attitude, I can take it or I can leave it, I can tell you one thing, you've never got it.
That's right.
Amen. I'll take it or I can leave it, you don't got it. Pardon the English. That's right. And the more loyal we are to Him, the more loyal that we are to Him, the more immunity we have from calamity that will meet us on up the road. That's right. That's right. Immunity to Him. If we make it through one trial and watch God work for us, we'll make it through another one a little easier. Can I say to you that the trials get bigger? The hardships get harder, but it's easier on us going through it. You know why? We can turn around and look where God's brought us from. And every time that God delivered us, He has secured a new blessing up ahead for us, thank God.
Amen.
Amen. When God started the plague down in the land of Egypt, He had already secured the blood on the doorposts and lintels of the houses. When He put the blood on the doorposts and lintels of the houses, He had already secured the crossing of the Red Sea. When He secured the crossing of the Red Sea, He had already secured the waters of Mara to be made sweet for the people of God. Already done it. That little tree did. You know, God just didn't say, well, here they come. Tree, grow up. When God created the world, He put that little tree there. And He said, some one of these days, our people will come up through here. And that little tree is what they're going to need to make this trial, make that water, that bitter water there, it'll make it sweet.
Amen.
That little tree is what they'll need. Can you not see that? That back through the annals of time, God saw a tree called the cross.
Amen.
Called Mount Calvary, and on that cross, His Son died for us. It wasn't something that God just thought of lately. Not even an afterthought of the garden. But even before the foundation of the world, Christ stood as a lamb slain for you and I. Calvary was already planned in the mind of God. That tree called Mount Calvary was already growing in that garden, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
That Christ was hanged upon. Somebody said, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. You can be wrong. Now see the miracle. Look at verse number 23. There's a tree standing nearby being cast into the water. Made it immediately turn sweet. They had at arm's length that which was able to turn their murmurings into joy and make things right for them again. But because of their conduct, they failed to see it. At arm's length, there was a tree that could cure their murmurings and make them right again. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, listen to Brother Hall. It's before us tonight. It's right in front of our eyes. It's called an old-fashioned altar. It's called a throne of grace. And we might have come, approach, and find grace to help in time of need. And it's already there. Somebody said, where is it? Open your eyes and look. It's there. It's at arm's grasp. All you got to do is reach out by faith and take hold of it. It's there. It's got to be it. It's by faith. Our problem is we don't want to live by faith. We want to live by sight. And when they looked and saw, the water was bitter. But when by faith Moses threw in that little tree, it turned sweet, ladies and gentlemen. And the faith is what delivered them. Amen. That's right. The faith is what delivered them. Now, let me try to move on here. Water was of necessity. And it's through our necessities and our deliverances, God increasingly reveals Himself to our souls. And so even our troubles become useful in giving us a deeper insight into the heart of God. Did you get what I said? Every trial we have that God delivers us in gives us a deeper insight into the heart of God. And oh, what a heart it is. How loving He really is toward us. How He pities us and comforts us. How He strengthens us when we're weak. How He carries us when we can't walk. We can lean upon Him when we're weak in ourselves. I'll guarantee you He'll hold you up. He'll never let you down. I'll assure you of that. Are you listening? Amen. Now, I said that the troubles become useful in giving us a deeper insight into His heart. Notice this very carefully. At the burning bush, Moses saw Him as Jehovah, just the Eternal One. Just the Eternal One. But at the Red Sea, He becomes Jehovah, my strength. Sees Him a little bit more there. He's not just Jehovah, the Eternal One, but He's a personal God now. He's a strength to them. But when you come to the waters of Mara, He's Jehovah, and if I can pronounce this word, Raphek, which means Jehovah, the Lord our healer, or the Lord that healeth. Hey, just every trial gives us a little bit deeper insight into the heart of God. He's not just God, but He's a God that will give us strength. He's not just a God that will give us strength, but He's a God that will heal our diseases for us.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. He'll heal our sins, ladies and gentlemen. That's what our problem is. It's a sin problem tonight in the world. It's a sin problem in our hearts tonight. That's where the problem lies, with sin. S-I-N, sin. That's exactly right. But hey, He'll deliver us from that. He is our healer of that. Do you think that God wants to let us live in that sin? No. He delivered them from Egypt. He didn't deliver them from Egypt to let them wallow in sin all their life. And God didn't save you and God didn't save me to let us wallow in our sin all of our life. God saved you and me to give us victory that we might, sin might not have dominion over us. And then through our trials, we might have a greater insight into the very heart and the life of God, the heart of the Lord Jesus and how much He loves us. Oh, I'm telling you, and His heart is a deep well. Keep on drinking, neighbor. Them 12 wells of water is just the beginning. There's water in greater depths than that. Water sweeter than what they tasted at Mara. There's waters that's so sweet to the soul that our tongue have never flavored it. But it's there and it's available. Its depth is in the heart of Christ. I challenge you tonight to plunge deep into the heart of the living God. Because there is not only spring water, there is rivers of living water. I said there's not just wells, there's spray, there's rivers, plural, rivers of living water.
Amen.
Plunge in deep into the very heart of Christ and find His great love wherewith He loved us, even that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. And I want to say this in conclusion, I'm done. There is a remedy for our needs that is much more successful than murmuring. I won't say that again. There is a remedy for our needs that is much more successful than murmuring. That is at hand, and I've said this, if you knew it, would make all right again, and the Lord can easily show you what it is. You get a hold of that. There's something right at hand that can help you tonight. And God can show you what it is if you want to see it. It's not far from you. It's not far from any of us. It can't be far. He's a present help in trouble. He is nigh each and every one of us. How can help be far away? Amen. It can't be. It's closer than arm's reach.
Right.
He's near us. All of us. And that which is able to heal us and solve our problems and our troubles and our trials and make them sweet again is ever before us all the time. It's there. All you got to do is reach out and lay hold to it. That's right. Stay right with me. Perhaps he may bid you to move forward to another stage, going on up to the palm trees and the wells. He might have you to do that. For at Elim, there was plenty of water in abundance for them to drink. But most likely, he will put you on a plan for sweetening these mercies, which are for the present embittered. Hey, God doesn't let us go around every trial. When Israel come to Jericho, he didn't say, now Jericho's up ahead and it's a great walled city. What I want you to do is go around it. He said, what I want you to do is march around it one time for 6 days and 7 days, seven times around. Don't say a word for 6 days and on the seventh day and seven times around. Shout and watch the walls fall down. God does not want us going around our problems. God wants us to go through our problems to make better Christians out of us. Are you listening to me? God wants us to go through a bitter experience to make a better Christian out of us. Now, I don't understand for my life. I'm not in her place. And I don't have the answer to why the Lord let happen to Miss Sharon's niece. What happened? I don't have the earthly idea. And I know they're brokenhearted, and rightly so. I would be. I'd be weeping my eyes until they were red, till waters of tears, rivers of tears ran down my cheeks if it was me. And I know that they are troubled in their soul. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, every bitter trial can have a sweet ending if we'll let God lead us through it. I don't know what God is trying to do, and you never know. The death of that young girl, and I'm not saying it will, and I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but we never know. But the death of that young girl may bring salvation to several members of that family. God may get to dealing with those people. And out of it, a number of them get saved. Somebody said, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? One man gave his life for the world. I ask you, is not one of our lives worth some of our family being saved?
Amen.
Sure it is. That's bitter to us. If it had not been for the death of my wife, mother, and father, we would not be where we are tonight. But I followed that casket twice within 10 months down to that same little spot in Providence Cemetery out of Austin, Indiana. And I watched the grief on my wife's face, the tears run down her cheeks. We got to the funeral home tonight. I was showing her mother the first night. She didn't even want to go inside. I almost had to drag her to get her on the inside. That's how broken she was. But oh, I'm telling you, God took that bitter trial and made something precious and sweet out of it. God's got us in the ministry. Ain't much, but we're serving Him. And I'm telling you, it took that bitter trial to bring the joy that has I've felt in my soul all of these years in serving the Lord. And may God keep on ringing them bells of heaven, hallelujah, down deep in my soul. May God ring them tonight once again. Hallelujah. Let me never forget to be thankful for what He's done. That's right. He'll just probably take this sweet little sweetening of these mercies and which are right now bitter, and make sweet mercies of grace out of them all. His name is the Lord our healer. And if you be diligent and hearken to His voice and do that which is right in His sight, He will make all these things work together for your good. And by the... Oh boy... By the tender sympathy He raises up. By the timely help He sends. By the gentle sustaining of our spirit inwardly. He can walk. He can walk or work such a change in our life. He can change Myra immediately and make it sweet. He can turn the bitter into sweet instantly. That where once you stood in horrible surprise. Oh, there's water! Can you imagine how surprised they were when they put their mouths in that water and spit it out and said, Moses, this is Myra. We can't drink it. Moses said, cried to God, and God said, there's a little tree there, Moses. Cut it down, throw it in the water. Let them drink it. And when they began to drink, they stooped down. And as soon as they drank, they realized that the waters were no longer bitter. But they were sweet. What a great God that we have. It'll bless us and help us in that way. And I'm going to tell you, God can take your bitter water tonight and make it sweet also, and mine as well. God can take our bitter trials and make them sweet. Can you imagine how surprised they were when they thought they had that water and drink it and said, this is bitter. Moses threw in that little tree and said, now drink it. And I'm but some of them didn't say, probably a little skeptical. They probably said, no, wait a minute, Moses. I didn't drink that once, and it's bitter as gall. You think that little tree you threw in there is going to do any good? There's people like that today. They don't think you throw in the tree that it'll make the life of Christ sweet to us, but it will. I'm going to tell you, a real Christian don't mind suffering a little bit with God, for God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We don't mind the bitterness near as much if we're truly saved by the grace of God. And I can imagine the surprise when Moses said, yeah, it's all right now. And one of them said, well, I'll chance it. It didn't kill me. I'll chance it. And he got down on his knees and cupped that water up. And I can imagine the expression on his face when he looked at the rest of them and said, it's sweet! It's sweet! Can you imagine the testimony that might break out in here if just one man or one woman would jump up and cry, God, it's sweet tonight! Hallelujah! Sweet is the taste! Great is the power, sweet is the taste. That water that flows from the throne of God's mighty grace. Let's stand together.